From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. GPB series Making Conversations brings together folks who have frank conversations about race. Participants come from different backgrounds and find common ground.
We have to be willing to listen and try to put ourselves in other people's shoes. And it's impossible to fully do that, but you're certainly never going to be able to do that if you don't sit down and talk.
It's interesting to hear you say and like come from that perspective, because a lot of times it feels like people who are marginalized are the ones who are always like, oh my God, like we have to wave the flag on these things. And sometimes it doesn't feel that people that don't share our lived experiences actually understand that.
Tanja Kabir and Katie Powers participated in Making Conversations. Tanja is executive director of the Griffith Family Foundation, which provides grants to programs in the Macon community. And Kate is founder of Macon Book'em. It's a nonprofit that provides books to at-risk kids. And they're joining me now both from our studios in Macon. Welcome.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for being here. Question, did you know, I'm going to ask you to start with Tanja, did you know each other before you got to that studio in Macon that day?
No, I didn't. And it's weird because I do know a lot of people outside of my background, but I had never met Katie before the conversation.
So people who don't normally interact are the people that join these Making Conversations. How were you approached for the conversation, Tanja?
Honestly, I got a Facebook message from the producer.
Saying, all starts with Facebook.
Would you like to participate in this conversation? I said, oh, okay, sure. Sounds great.
Katie, how about for you?
So I have been a fan of the Making Conversation series. And like Tanja, I got a Facebook message. And when they asked, I jumped at the chance. So I was thrilled and honored to be asked.
So you were asked, but then how about right there when you're in the studio or the green room waiting for that conversation? How did you feel then?
Nervous.
Yes.
I felt very nervous. I was like, okay, I did sign up for this, but exactly, you know, what am I going to say? And most importantly, how am I going to say it? How am I going to present myself? Because a lot of times, like I said in the clip, it's Black people talking about race, and it's you know, I didn't want to be seen as the angry Black woman or, you know, someone who's complaining about something. So I really wanted to make sure that I brought my genuine self, but also I didn't want it to, you know, I cared about how it was perceived.
Yeah. How about you, Katie?
Same. And you know, I wanted to hopefully appear genuine and candid and most of all not condescending in any way. And I really just had to remind myself going into it, I need to listen. Listen and hear and see.
I think a lot of people don't have these conversations because they're afraid of just the things you guys are talking about. Don't want to say the wrong thing. Don't want to sound, you know, like I don't know what I'm talking about. This edited conversation did end up being about 10 minutes, but y'all talked for almost an hour. Among the topics discussed, defining what racism is. And you didn't actually agree on a definition. Tanja, how did you define it for this conversation?
I talked about it more from the systematic perspective, looking at just this idea that racism is really about the norms and the actions that consistently provide an advantage for white people, simultaneously making it disadvantages for people of color.
And what do you think for you, Katie?
Well, racism as a way, a point of view, seeing another person or race of people as, you know, subpar or less than, whatever your race is, just lumping a group of people into a category that makes it easy for you to make judgments about them.
So system and attitudes. Here's just a clip about from the actual program about how race impacts your experiences.
I always have to think about my race. I always have to think about who I am. How did I show up to the room, you know? Are people going to think a certain way of me because of the color of my skin? Do you think a lot about what your whiteness means for you?
You know, I don't, I mean, I guess the only thing that I have to worry about is as a female, you know, and a blonde, you know, being maybe stereotyped as ditzy or and sort of have to prove myself in that way.
This gets to identity. It gets to, you know, what you're representing when you're walking into the room. Katie, since having this conversation with Tanja, have you thought about what that means differently?
I have. And, you know, before the conversation, I really thought that I was pretty aware of other people's experience. And but it really has made me think more, especially at events where there may be, you know, a variety of people from different races, and just to watch the interactions. And it's really made me try to put myself in other people's shoes more, which I think we could all do a bit more of.
You said events. You both work in the nonprofit sector, so you're probably crossing into the same rooms. But how do you navigate these ideas of who might feel welcome or unwelcome in a room? I'll put that to you, Tanja.
Pretty much, I guess my thought process is I go into the room and I speak truth to power in the best ways that I know how to. But a lot of times you do have to have that conversation. In the space that we work in with Griffith Family Foundation, we look at poverty, and you can't say that you're going to tackle poverty. A nonprofit or philanthropic entity can't say that they're going to tackle poverty without looking at and understanding race and how that looks. And so it's definitely something that I think about. And showing up to the room as a Black person in this space, working with who I work with, it is important that I am Black, because there are certain levels that I'm able to identify with that other people may not be able to, and you need that voice and you need that understanding to be able to do that.
Let me ask you, are you often in the position of, you know, asking white people for money and for programs for, you know, people who are, what do we call them, marginalized communities, you know, all of those euphemisms that are used to disguise what might actually be going on?
Yes, I do, for the most part, from our end, I do tend to have to ask a lot of white people to think about race or to think about people outside of themselves. And it's never a difficult question, but when you ask people to sort of ponder and, like, hey, you give the stats, like, yeah, poverty is serious and Macon is 27%, but 1/3 of that is Black versus 1/10 of that being white. So you have a 1/3 chance if you're Black of living in poverty and making, you really do have to ask people to kind of think outside of themselves to actually care about these issues and to work toward them as well.
Katie, how about for you? Your organization, Macon Bookum, brings you into contact with kids from different socioeconomic backgrounds than your own. How are you mindful when you're working with communities that might not look like you?
Sure. And my background is in teaching, and primarily in inner city Macon schools. And I think when I'm going into a school, which 3/4 of the children in Bibb County schools live below the poverty level, which is astounding, I think the children, children obviously see people more as people and don't have all the layers that adults sometimes do. So I'm fortunate in that way. And I'm showing up with books. So they quickly
they're see really interested
the book
in you.
Lady. Right, right. So I have a really happy, fun job. But I'm also bringing law enforcement into the schools with me from the outreach department of the Bibb County Sheriff's Office. And it's been really interesting to hear their perspectives of just the mistrust from the community, and hearing parents even out in the community tell their children, oh, don't act up because, you know, they're going to arrest you. And obviously that's not the image they want to project. They want children to see them as their friends. And that's part of what we're trying to do as well, is build that sense of trust between law enforcement and these communities. So I don't know if I really answered your question. But yeah, I think it's easier for me because I'm mainly interacting with children.
I think there's no right answer there, but I really appreciate both of you sharing your experience. I'm speaking with Katie Powers and Tanja Kabir. They were both featured in a recent episode of GPB's Make in Conversation series. But I think that is an important thing to touch on, because you do, in the conversation, talk about police brutality, prejudice, discrimination, and stereotypes.
My brother, he has a full Arabic name, so obviously after 9/11, we couldn't travel through the airport together. And, I mean, it's a privilege to be able to, like, mind your business in society, just to walk by and be yourself.
Well, so that's you, Tanja. Any worries about having these conversations with Katie, somebody you've never met? You know, you're not sure what her thoughts are, or you're not sure where she's coming from.
Definitely. I mean, there's a tiny little fear, but for me, I live by attempting to conquer my fears, not just with Katie, but just in general, out in public with white people, in general, with who I work with. Like, there is that fear, but I do understand, like Katie said earlier, if you don't have the conversation like this, we're not going to be able to resolve the issues that we're looking to address.
Do you have these kind of conversations about inclusion at the Griffith Family Foundation, you know, the board, the diversity of the grant recipients, all that?
We definitely do. In fact, we've adopted a social justice framework, which looks at things like capacity building, empowerment, and all of that comes through sort of a racial equity lens, or I should say a social equity lens. And so, yes, we definitely talk about how to ensure that our funds are diversified, but also on the boards that I sit on. I hope people don't hate me, but I am always talking about about race and saying, like, hey, it is important that we look at these things.
Well, you said that in the clip. You know, you feel like you're in the position of having to wave up and down and say, like, we need to talk about this, right?
Right.
And this is something that you also discussed in the conversation, privilege, and what it means that, you know, you want people to talk about this, but a lot of people feel like, I just don't have to. Let's hear it.
The importance is to, first of all, know if you are privileged and recognize that, and bring other people up to your level, who should be there anyway.
I think that's important, bringing people with you. So when you walk into that room, it's not just you. In order for us to, like, actually move through the society together, if we're really about making a change, we have to be able to bring people with us into those rooms to kind of break those barriers down.
I'm wondering what you know, both of you are saying something, but a little differently. Katie, you said what you mean, you said bringing other people up to your level. And then Tanja, you said bringing people with you as you go into a room. Have you thought about, you know, what this privilege means for you differently? And you even talked with the other people about it.
Sure, I'll go ahead. I think that it is important that if you come from a background where you're just born with certain advantages that other people don't have, whether they be you're born white, you are born into a family that has means and money and you have financial security, whether you have a sense of power from your family's position, that with that comes great responsibility. You know, I've just sort of lived by that creed that if you have these things, it is incumbent upon you to look at other people who may not have those advantages, and not out of a sense of pity or to say to them, you know, you're weaker than me, or come from that viewpoint at all, but just to say, I see you, and what can I do to help level the field, just level the field.
So what has the feedback been from your community, your friends, your family, since you've had this conversation, which was a couple weeks ago? I mean, are you, Katie, now in the position of saying, like we heard from Tanja earlier, are you the one who's saying, waving the flag and saying, we need to talk about this?
I guess... I've tried to be pretty vocal about it. I'm never one to, more by the power of the pen, I guess I'm pretty open about my viewpoints and beliefs. And I do think it's very important. And what I see, Virginia, from the white community is, and, you know, bringing up these issues and dialogue and trying to prompt dialogue is a fear of being shamed, I think, is really the biggest fear. The biggest things I hear or the most common themes are, well, you know, my parents didn't own slaves, or I'm not a racist. You know, I have two black friends or three black, you know, it's just, I don't know. I just want people to get it.
Well, you know what? I absolutely understand it. You know, as a white woman, that idea of like, oh, I'm going to say something stupid. And that is a space where we can go and exist together. And I'm wondering for you what that's felt like, Tanja. What has the feedback from your community been like?
Honestly, I can't say that I've thought about the feedback. I've been a little bit busy, but I'll say just generally this idea of social responsibility. One thing that I alluded to in the conversation was the idea that I'd love it for white people to continue to have these conversations amongst themselves.
That's
because
interesting.
It's so important. And I've been reading White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo, so it's definitely what she lays out. But being able to have that conversation is something like, when I asked Katie, what does your whiteness mean for you? It's kind of like those are discussions that need to be had amongst white people, because in order to dismantle this system of racism, you really do have to, like, white people got to be doing it. Like, they got to be doing the work, right? And as black people, not to say that we don't have access to the system and that we can't do those things, but like I said, we're tired. We've been doing this. White people need to be having these conversations.
So a whole new chapter of making conversations, perhaps. Tanja Kabir, Executive Director of the Griffith Family Foundation. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Katie Power. She's founder of the nonprofit Macon Book M. Both of them join me from our Macon studios, and we do encourage you to watch Macon Conversations. They've been a great series. It is International Women's Day, and we're going to hear from a Georgia woman who busted through the glass gridiron and another who's helping bring the global challenges of women to dinner in homes across America, including Georgia. That's after the break. I'm Virginia Prescott. Stay with us.